Let's pay careful attention now to God's word to us. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And then our text this morning, 46 through 56. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has sown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. So far God's word, and as always, brothers and sisters, keep his word open before you as we work our way through this passage together. But firstly, let's come before him in prayer. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, bless your word to our hearts this morning. Encourage us, stir our hearts to praise your name because of the great deeds you have done for us. We pray this because of the name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, over the past couple of weeks, there's a bit of downsizing that we're doing as a family. We've been selling a few things on Trade Me. Now, this is not an advertisement to go and check Trade Me now and see what we're selling. Welcome to look after the service. But as part of doing business, of selling and buying on Trade Me, you get ratings. And you have to rate the people you buy from and rate the people that you sell to. When we're looking to buy something on Trade Me, we always check it out who we're buying from. It can be quite amusing sometimes to read some of the comments through on the ratings that people have given, but also a little bit worrying as you see bad review after bad review. Now, you may not use Trade Me. Maybe when you're going to a restaurant, you go and look at their website or look for reviews or ask someone, what's a good restaurant to go to in Rangiora? Good person to ask is one of our many resident food experts, our brother Peter McKirk. If you want a good night out, go and ask him and he'll tell you where to go, no matter what kind of type of cuisine you're looking for. Or maybe you've bought something and a couple of weeks later you get an email saying, how's the product going? We're so excited you bought from us. Would you give us a minute or two to rate our product? Rate our service. Tell us what you found helpful. Or tell us where we can improve. But what would you write if you had to write a review of God? Now, I say that very carefully and I say that respectfully. But if you were to write a review of God and what he has done for you, and how important he is to you, and how you feel about him, what would you say? How would you respond? Well, here in our passage this morning, Mary gives a review. She literally sings the praises of God for what he has been doing. Here in what is termed Mary's Song of Praise. Now, we don't know if she sang this, most likely she spoke that, but it's been turned into song over the years. And we're going to sing that after the service this morning as well. But Mary sings the song of praise for God's promises and God's works in her life. Now, you'll notice that I've given the sermon an interesting title. I got asked this morning at breakfast, what does this title mean? What does it mean what you've written there? And I said, well, you're going to have to listen. And basically what this is the Latin phrase for our theme this morning. And it's literally the first words that Mary speaks. It's Latin for Magnificat anima mea dominum. It's Latin for my soul magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. And that's our theme this morning. Our theme this morning is that God's great deeds call us to magnify him. God's great deeds call us to magnify him. And Mary's poem, Mary's song here has four stanzas, four verses. And that gives us our four points this morning. As we look at the reasons why Mary can praise, can magnify her God. And the first reason this morning, as we look at verses 47 through 48, is that God blesses us personally. God blesses us personally. Mary begins by saying what she's going to do. My soul magnifies the Lord. Verse 47, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Why? Why does she rejoice? Because God has looked upon the humble state of his servant. Mary is speaking here about herself. Mary wasn't anyone special. If you passed her by on the street, she wouldn't stand out to you. She wasn't someone who had any great position of importance in society. And more than that, she came from a town known as Nazareth. And Nazareth is Nowhereville, in the middle of nowhere in the Wop-Wops. At this time, I'd normally name a little town somewhere, but I've done that before and got myself in trouble. You've all got towns in your mind now, haven't you? You're thinking of a certain town in the middle of nowhere. But that's who Mary was, and that's where Mary came from. And yet God looked on her. He singled her out. And because of this, she says, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Why was Mary great? Was she great because who she was? Because she was the mother of Jesus? Because she gave birth to the Savior? This was certainly a great happening. Just imagine growing up being Mary. Hearing the angel come and talk to you, pondering over this, thinking about it, and then coming and visiting your cousin Elizabeth, and she confirms again. Imagine processing all of this in your mind. Was Mary great because she was the Theotokos? The Theotokos, that's a Greek word that describes who Mary was. Theo, meaning God, and tokos means to bring forth, to literally bring forth God. That is a blessing. And because of that, we should call her blessed. She has been blessed by God. But we need to be careful that we don't push that too far. That we don't go as far as our Roman Catholic friends and worship her and place her up as what is known as a co-mediatrix. A co-mediator. Jesus being one of our mediators and Mary being on an equal standing with Jesus. No. No, she was not great because of who she was. She says herself, she is of humble of state. She is lowly. She is called blessed because of what God has done to her. Because of what God has done for her. Not to worship Mary. But we are to recognize that God blessed her. That God showed his grace to her. And that puts us, brothers and sisters, in exactly the same position. Now, we're not Theotokos. We're not God-bearers. But we are sinful. We are humble. And in our sin, we are in a low and pitiful state. We need help. And we can't say to God, as his chosen people, well, God, you've made a good choice. In picking me, you struck it lucky. You're not going to be disappointed if you have me in your kingdom, God. No, no. We are blessed not because of who we are, but because God chose us. Because he chose us in his wisdom. Because he has extended his grace to us in Jesus Christ. We too can call each other blessed because of God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's the first reason that Mary praises God, because her Savior was coming. Because God has blessed her and used her in his kingdom. The second reason that Mary praises God, magnifies God for his great deeds, is his character. Verses 49 and 50, if you're following along. Here there are three characteristics that Mary describes of God. The first is that God is mighty. Now this comes from the Greek word dynamis. Boys and girls, that sounds a lot like dynamite, doesn't it? It describes God's power. How God is powerful. How he controls all things. How he's above all things. And as the angel Gabriel said, and we read this morning, nothing is impossible with God. Because of God's power, we have been brought hope in Jesus Christ. Because of his mightiness. God is also described as holy. He is perfect. He is pure. He is separate from creation. He demands our respect because of who he is, because of what he has done. And Mary acknowledges this, and she worships and praises God for this. He who has done mighty and great things for me, and holy is his name. She holds God up with respect and with awe. Now, if I was to pray to God, "G'day, God, how you doing? What's up?" That wouldn't be a very respectful way to come before God, would it? Our worship, our prayers, our lives are to respect and reflect who God is. That he is holy, that he is mighty, that he is powerful, that he is majestic, that we are not God. But God is also not distant from us. When I was growing up, I didn't know my grandparents. I met one of my grandfathers once. I met my grandmothers on a number of occasions, but I didn't grow up knowing my grandparents. We're really thankful that our girls do know their grandparents and are able to spend time with them and enjoy company with them. They have a relationship with them, and that's a real blessing. And I'm sure many of you will agree with me as well. We also have a relationship with God. He's not distant. He's not far away. No, he came down to earth in his Son. He continues to be a relationship with us. And that's what Mary says there too. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. God shows us his mercy in bringing us into a relationship with him because of his Son, Jesus Christ. And as part of that, there's a promise in there. His mercy shown to those who fear him from generation to generation. A pattern that doesn't always work, but a pattern that is generally a pattern that God blesses families. That the blessing of the covenant travels through families. And even when our children do walk away, this is a prayer we can pray to God. Lord, you promise that you will bless the generations of those who fear you. Answer my prayer to bring my children back. Be faithful to your promises, your promise of the covenant. Mary gives thanks because of God's character, his mightiness, his holiness, his mercy shown to us through Jesus Christ. She praises God for blessing her personally, but the third reason is God's upside down world. God's upside down world. Verses 51 through 53. Now, we don't see this here in our English Bibles, but Mary changes how she is speaking ever so slightly. She shifts here to what is known as the past tense. Technically, what is known as a prophetic past tense. A prophetic past tense. So what Mary is doing here is prophesying for the future. But as she's prophesying for the future, she's speaking as if it has already happened. What do I mean by this? Well, say I was to say to you, when the Highlanders win the Super 14 or Super 12 or whatever it is, next season, we're going to have a massive parade in Dunedin. I've booked the catering. We've booked the floats for the parade, and it's going to be a massive celebration because we've won. You see what I'm doing there? I'm already assuming that the Highlanders are going to win. Now, I know I'm dreaming. The Highlanders aren't the Crusaders, but you get the point. You get the point. Mary is speaking here as if it has already happened. She's speaking about things that have happened in history, but she's also saying, this is what's going to happen in the future, and I'm going to speak about it so certainly because God is going to do it. You can count on it. And what is God going to do? Well, he's going to turn the world upside down. Verses 51 through 53, he has shown strength with his arm. When you read about God's arm in the Bible, you know that it's speaking about God acting. It's God showing his power. It's God doing something mighty. And he's going to turn things upside down. Notice what he says here. Notice the picture. The mighty are going to come down from their thrones. He's going to be brought down from their thrones. And those who are of humble estate, the lowly, the poor, are going to be brought up and sat on those thrones, turning things upside down. The hungry are going to be filled, and those who are rich are going to go away hungry. What does that mean today? Well, think about the things that the world sees as valuable. Think about the things that the world sees as important. The first thing that our new government did as they came into power was not address child poverty, not even address COVID first. The first thing they did was declare a climate emergency. Now, I'm not even sure what that means, but it does show the priorities of our leaders. And I'm not saying that climate change isn't important, but think about the things that the world holds up as valuable. Money, house prices, fame, power, sexual freedom. And God takes all of that and shows us and says to us, that doesn't really matter. It's not important. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. What did Job say? Naked I came into this world, naked I'm going to leave it. What matters? What's important? Not the things that the world holds important. What is important are the things that the world sees as having no value, of being worth nothing. What is important is a lowly child born in Bethlehem who would grow up to be the king of the entire universe. There's also a spiritual dimension to the hunger that's listed here. He filled the hungry with good things. Mary's son, Jesus Christ, said this, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." The thing about eating junk food is that it doesn't really satisfy. You may get your cravings filled for just a little bit of time, but very shortly you're hungry afterwards. We can feed ourselves with junk food spiritually as well. The things we watch, the things we read, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we spend the one day that God has given us to serve him and honor him and glorify him. God said this through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 55. "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligent to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make for you with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David." Those are words that the prophet Isaiah spoke to the people of Israel. But those words are just as equally true for us this morning, congregation. And we can praise our God and magnify him that he does feed us, that he does nourish us, that he even gives us the spiritual appetite that we need. Unlike KFC, unlike McDonald's, we will always be satisfied as we come to our God. He promises to nourish us, to feed us. God turns the world upside down. He makes the things that the world sees as valuable as worthless. We can praise God for his character. We can praise God because he blesses us personally. But finally, we can praise him because of his promise keeping to us. That's our fourth and final point this morning as we look at that last stanza of Mary's song, verses 54 through 55. Now, confession time. On at least three, almost four occasions, we've left children behind at home. Once at church and three times at home. We've left the house and we've gone down the road and we've realized that we're missing a child. And then someone will speak up or our memories will be jogged and after not too long a time, and we have to go back, apologize, and pick the child up. Is that what's happening to God here in this passage? Mary's giving thanks that God has remembered. God was sitting up there in heaven, and all of a sudden he thought, there was something I needed to do. That's right, I needed to save Israel. No, God never forgets. God always remembers. And when the Bible speaks about God remembering, it's more the way we should see it is that God has this great big plan. And as he remembers, in terms that we can understand, he moves to the next step of his plan, the next step of his program. In Genesis 12, verses 2 to 3, God made Abraham a promise. Genesis 12. He said this, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now God has blessed nations through Abraham throughout the years. But here in our passage, what Mary is recognizing is that 2,000 years after that promise to Abraham, it's finally coming to its climax, to its full fruition, as the Son of God comes down to earth. The next step, the most important step, the climactic step, as God becomes Emmanuel, God with us, through his Son, Jesus Christ. And as Mary says here, the promise given to Abraham and to his offspring forever, this promise continues. The promise to everyone from the physical nation of Israel who believes in Jesus Christ that they will be saved. A promise to everyone of the spiritual nation of Israel. Not only those physically descended from Abraham, but every single person who spiritually can call Abraham their father. That's you and me. And Mary here is praising God that God is keeping his promise of sending a Savior. That blessing that came through Abraham. A promise that will come and continue until Jesus Christ returns. So four reasons that Mary gives for us to praise God and magnify his name. Just a couple of weeks ago in North America, Thanksgiving Day was celebrated. A day to gather around as families, and one of the traditions that many families do is as they sit at the table together, they go around and turn and give thanks. Thankful for something that has happened in their lives. I want to give you some homework this morning. Some homework for you to do as a family. Sometime this week, I want you to sit together as a family and reflect and give thanks for what God has done in your life. You might like to start with these four points that Mary has made in her prayer. And reflect. How has God blessed you? How is God blessing you? Because as we consider these things, brothers and sisters, as we consider how God blesses us, who God is, what he has done, and especially at this time of the year, as we consider his Son came down to earth for us, our response can only be, and should only be, the same response of Mary this morning. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Will you give thanks with me now? Will you praise him with me now? Let's pray together. Amen. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning we bring you praise. We magnify you. We honor your name. We praise you because of what you have done for us. For the way that you uphold us, the way that you carry us, for the way that you have lifted us up, that you have freed us from our sins. For your promise that you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. Lord, forgive us for taking what you have given us for granted, for taking your Son for granted. Help us this week as we consider the many, many ways you have blessed us, and especially the way you have blessed us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Stir our hearts anew. Fill us, Lord, with joy, with passion, because of what you have done for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you that you bless us through your Son. We rest and stand in your character, your mightiness, your power, your holiness, your mercy to us. We thank you that no matter how much we look in despair of this world, that we know that you are in control and that you will make all things right and that you are making all things right. We thank you that we can look forward to that day when your Son returns, not as a baby, but returns as a triumphant king. We thank you that you are a God who keeps your promises, that you kept the promise you gave to Abraham. Lord, we pray for your covenant promise to our children. Work in the hearts, we pray, of those who are walking away from you. Bring them back, that they too may be able to sing your praises, magnify your name. And Lord, at this Christmas time, in this Christmas season, help that passion that we have, that joy that we have, that desire to magnify you, help that to spill over from us, that we may go and talk to others and proclaim the glory, the hope, the majesty that we have in Jesus Christ. Stir anew our hearts. Fill us with passion to glorify you, to honor you, to proclaim you. Lord, may we be able to say with Mary, our souls magnify the Lord, our spirits rejoice. Rejoice in God, our Savior. Amen.